Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Fighter's Voice with Don McGuire, presented by Finished MMA and the United Way Merced.
Welcome to The Fighter's Voice. I'm your host, Don McGuire. We're going to go ahead and jump right in things here and see if Juan Archuleta will answer his phone this time. I just talked to him 20 minutes ago. Maybe he doesn't recognize the New York area code. Juan, are you there? You know, let's take a, since I'm not going to have any technical difficulties tonight, we're going to go into a commercial ad real quick, and when we come back, we'll have Juan Archuleta.
What up, it's your boy Slone Bone of the Mo Thugs Movement, part of the Bone Thugs and Harmony family tree, the 86ers brand ambassador. Check it out though, listen. In a world full of followers, be proud to be different. Be an 86er. So what I need y'all to do is go to the 86ers.net. We got the dopest apparel, men and women. Everything you need for a fresh start. I'm talking tees, zip-ups, tanks, hoodies, and the best hats at a price nobody can match. I'ma ask you this though. What do your clothes say about you? If you don't know, come to the 86ers.net and find yourself out. And a special shout out to Don McGuire, the host of The Fighter's Voice. Salute, big homie.
And we're back. I just shot Juan a text. Hopefully he should be giving us a call here in just a second. You know, true, it was tremendous to see Juan Archuleta be able to step into Bellator. You know, it's been a long day coming, and the aspect that I appreciate about him is it's kind of a new beginning in the career of Juan Archuleta. You know, it's one thing to be, and I don't know what the hell I just hit on my phone, but it's one thing to, you know, be a champion and a four-time division holder and another promotion, but to step up to a major promotion and do the things that Juan Archuleta has done has truly redefined who he is in the rise of the Spaniard. You know, I'm going to give him one last opportunity as he wanted to come on tonight, and we'll make this happen, but I'm not good at filling dead air, but I'm good at asking questions. Let's go ahead and try to get Juan again.
Sorry, I couldn't get to the phone right now. Leave a message and I'll give you a call back. Thanks. Bye.
At the tone, please record your message.
Let's take a short break, and when we come back, hopefully we'll have Juan Archuleta. I apologize to all. I don't know what the miscommunication was. We'll be right back.
Yeah. My mic sound nice, chat once. Yeah. Never let your dreams die. Get up on your grind till your cream rise. Get up on your grind till your team rise. Edgewood, I was raised on the mean side. Staring out the window of my project. Pony's got him on the ground with his arms stretched. Now my dog on the run, that's a far fetch. I'm just trying to make it out, but it's a process. God bless, I be praying for the weak. Cause these niggas praying on the weak. Dead bodies laying in the street. Dead bodies laying over sneaks. Dwayne Wade and LeBron James, they ain't playing with the heat. No matter what, be a man, stand on my feet. Faith unbreakable, man of belief. 2020 vision, got a plan, I'm a feast. Should've been with X-Men, goddamn, I'm a beast. I don't need a gun with my hands. I defeat J. jab upstairs, then I swing underneath. T-bars left, I stand on the creep. It's a dirty game, but I'm playing it for keeps. Jims and me and Bam Bam playing on the beach. Talks about life, he understand what I teach. Cost to be the boss, better hair or be seat. Laying on my chest in the sand where we sleep. It's hella jail for the most of us. Understanding in his near death approaching us. Donald Trump got an office, ain't no hope for us. I'm protecting everything that be close to us. Slow down, watch what you posting up. For the police at your door screaming, open up. Got your hands behind your back, now you're thrown in cuffs. Now you're sitting in a cell all alone and stuck. Seen a father tell his own door to open up. Put his hands on her mouth, close and shut. Found a body in the trash, all folded up. Miss Ebony, oh so much, I'm so disgusted. My uncle said I wasn't old enough to play ball with his dogs, had to grow some nuts. Kept working on my game, got bold and tough. Bad boy with the rock, holding pot, yeah. I remember growing up. Have you ever seen a bass head open up? Gunshots woke him up. Just another black man killed over love. Just for the night that my pops wasn't showing up. Mama struggling and cried while she holding us. Had to do it like a 40 to get my focus up. I know he mad that I'm blowing up. He broke as fuck. Yeah, I'm just cruising on the red line. Writing letters to my dogs during fair time. Beat it, take you way back, LeBron hairline. Grind, no spare time. This my train of thought.
Just rolling through my city. Orange, red, green, blue, silver, yellow, red, and color, silver, ready. I'm finna just motherfucker that kill you for a fresh pair of pennies. This is my, 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 this is my train of thought.
Hey, turn this motherfucking beat up, bro. Like, for real, all the way up, bro. Come on, stop that.
Come on now.
That session that you
I never had a rough session before me.
Crazy.
I'ma say them ears and that motivation a little bit, you know? Yeah,
yeah, I'm from the home of Rafer. Yeah, I don't condone a hater. Yeah, shit.
All right, well, let's go ahead and try to make this happen one more time. If not, there was some confusion, and we'll just reschedule it for a later date. I just spoke to Juan a couple hours ago, and then not too long ago, and something must have came up. This never happened. Love the internet, you know. Let's try one more time. I think it went to his voicemail anyway, but we'll see what happens.
Sorry, I couldn't get to the phone right now. Leave a message and I'll give you a call back. Thanks. Bye.
At the tone.
Well, let's try one more time. If not, we'll go ahead and scrap it and reschedule it for another date. I'm not gonna worry about the complex.
Hello?
Juan, if you can hear me. Can you hear me?
Yes. Yes, sorry.
Hey, what am the 6 hey, o'clock, Don. Bro?
I was just driving through this bad area, so...
Hey, you know, I like that excuse. Ladies and gentlemen,
no, I was like, dang it, I'm trying to click on and it wouldn't let me click. It kept cutting out.
All right, well, you don't deserve this now, but I'm going to go ahead and play it anyway since now we can start the show. Here we go.
Oh, right on. Oh.
The man is right here. The man is in the house. Oh, yeah. The one and only, the Spaniard, Juan Archuleta. You know, Juan, you can sit back and you're a 7-time world champion, 4-time division champ for King of the Cage, and you've been on my show countless times. But you look at stepping up into a new promotion, elevating to a new level. What was that night like from start to finish for the Spaniard?
Oh man, it was definitely a special night, you know, stepping into a new organization, a prominent organization. You know, it was awesome. You know, it was definitely memorable, to be able to share it with having my whole family out there and my coaching staff, and just being able to go into a place that just welcomed me at home was just so memorable. You know.
You know, it was a memorable night, because what I saw was a much more prevalent, dominant, well-articulated warrior and the Spaniard. You know, we talked about, and it's funny because we use that hot dog analogy, but I'm not going to go deep into that because nobody will ever get our thoughts anyway on that. But you look at the complete meal. Let's just say it's a combo meal now. It's complete. You know,
yeah.
How much of that diversity from four unique aspects added to what the Spaniard already had attributed in his career, how much of you would you say came out in Bellator Friday night?
Oh, man, it was just like everything I had worked for and been working towards with training partners and with coaching, you know, it just all came out in one night, you know, and it was due to Bellator making it so special, you know, being able to make me feel at home and making me feel like I was, you know, part of their organization. It just made it easy for me to perform. I didn't have any extra added pressure or anything that I had to do outside the norm. It was just, hey, man, just show up and put on the performance that the fans, you know, are worthwhile for, you know, that are the, you know, basically price of admission. You got all in my fight, thanks to William Joplin, my opponent as well.
You know, that was the bittersweet, you know, part for me throughout this. You know, when you, hold on a second, I think I tried to call you on different aspects, so I think we're getting a little feedback. Let me check my situation here. No, we're good.
Okay.
When you look at the sport in general, it's just tremendous. You know, I think Liam McGarry said it the best, you know, you could be my best freaking mate in life, but once we step in the cage and it's locked, you know, I'm punching down my time card. You know, you're a God-fearing man, so how is it for Juan Archuleta when you do step into the octagon with a warrior that you truly appreciate?
Yeah, like how's my mind state when I step in there with someone like that?
Yeah, how because
it's just like,
you could step in there with somebody you don't like, somebody you don't know, but when it comes to somebody that you correlate paths with in life, you have mutual friends and you respect each other. How does it play in the mind of a warrior when those situations occur?
Well, you know, when you go out there, you just want to see faces, you know. You don't really want to see names. You know, you don't want to put a name on someone when you step into the cage. You just want a face and a body to go out there and basically dance with, you know. You don't try to make it personal. And that's the hardest thing, or that's the easiest thing for me to say, you know. It's just like, if I don't make it personal, or if I don't make it intimate, or, you know, bring relationships into this, into the cage, it makes it easier for me to go perform and go dictate a fight. But when you start making it personal, or you start making it, you start thinking about, you know, the friendship behind it, then you start having trouble with anxiety and performing and, you know, and that type of aspect, you know. So for me, I just try to go out there and see an open mat with just an ability to go perform.
I like that because, you know, You look at any of your fight footage, and I hope you don't take this wrong because it's not meant to be intended this way. You look at all of your fights in King of the Cage, and we talked about this earlier, up to your performance and stepping into the Bellator cage. You know, and it's been tremendous in all facets and in all aspects of diversity, but it appeared to be a little new shine on the Spaniard last Friday night. Appeared to be a certain aspect, a whole new level. Would you say being in the major platform has allowed you to show more of a relevant, prevalent side of Juan Archuleta?
Yeah, and I think that's thanks to King of the Cage, you know, for making sure I was ready, you know, and that's what I try to emphasize mostly through Fight Week, to let people know that I was ready for this, you know, because King of the Cage did a great job of wanting me to take my time, and all respect to my coaches and my training partners that always told me, you know, take your time, make sure you're ready, you know, you don't want to go in there, you know, and be nervous or be scared to, you know, the bright lights, you know, just, you know, King of the Cage, they had me fight my last three fights with them in a huge arena down in Citizens Bank, where it was an arena sitting, or an arena, you know, it was arena feel, you know, you had the whole circle, the stadium seating, and it just felt, you know, it was a big show, you know, it was over 10,000 people there, so they made sure I was ready for the next level of competition, you know, when I stepped into a Bellator and UFC, or, you know, whatever it was, be now it be Bellator, they made sure I was ready, and it showed that night.
Oh, it truly did. You know, I've watched that fight so many times. I'm gonna wear my DVR out. But the part that I love about it is because it's the rebirth, you know, of Juan Archuleta. And you know, mm-hmm. people could say, "Well, dude, he's been in the sport for almost 4 years. He's already, you know, done everything." But the way you articulated was so well. King of the Cage prepared you so eloquently for this moment. And I think mm-hmm. it's great, because we were talking about Christina Warhorse Williams earlier, you and I. And,
yeah.
you know, 2-0 in the Bellator cage, 2-0 as a pro, and she's already mm-hmm. looking at an opportunity to fight for the title of the world, because she's devastated the people that she was put in there. I guess, you know, I'm going to say it, you know, she was basically kind of thrown under the bus, you know, to lose. And, yeah. and that's a simple fact that happens in the sport, and that's how
yeah.
things coexist. But... Yeah. You know, there was something that I saw in you that I've never seen in you before. It was the enthusiasm. How does the Spaniard like, or what did the Spaniard take away from finally getting that promotion, that world exposure, that feeling that you've never had before? I mean, I know you've had great fights and big wars in King of the Cage, but... to finally be on a world stage, what did it truly mean for you, your family, and your training family?
Yeah, I think all across the board, you know, everyone was enthused. You know, it made for easy fight week. You know, being out there, I actually was able to get a ranch out in Texas, and that I stayed out for the whole week, and just enjoyed the time with my family. You know, just I trained so hard for the fight and for this moment that when we were all hanging out at the ranch and just you know, decompressing from the casino, and we were laughing, playing card games. I cut my weight there, had family dinners together, and you know, if anyone could go to one of my photographer's page, Marlo Holt, you could see, you know, just the love and support that I had from the pitchers, that everyone was there, and there was no doubt in our mind that we weren't going there to lose. You know, we were going there to perform, and you know, we were home. You know, we were just, everyone was home. You know, and to me, you know, it was kind of crazy, because all my coaches, Joe Daddy Stevenson and Cub and Tiki Gosen and just like Sam Calavito, were asking me, they were like, how do you feel? Are you excited? You know, what do you feel? And I was like, honestly, I feel nothing. I feel like, you know, you wake up on a Sunday morning and you're just hanging out at your house. Like, I wasn't overly enthused. I wasn't extremely satisfied, you know, because there's still a lot of work that needs to be done. It was just like, I felt like nothing. I felt like I was ready to go and put on a performance and make Bellator my home.
And that you did. You know, there was only, I think, one hinge to this whole effect that kind of really discombobulated things in certain aspects. I mean, you were set to fight somebody else. You ended up getting the Warhorse in William Joplin. You know, and it's no secret, Chop Shop's a friend of mine. You're a brother of mine. And, you know, like we talked about earlier, those situations transpire, but you must prevail. You go forward, and It is. It's a job. It's how you feed your family. You know, you talk about Marlo Holt, truly one of the most inspiring. And a lot of people say, Don, you're a photographer. How come you commend this guy all the time? But, you know, a lot of people, the way I feel is things can be duplicated, but they can never be replicated. You have a relationship with Marlo Holt that can't be defined by anybody else. You know, he creates the Spaniard through his work. He shows and defines you through his work, unlike anybody else could. So that's a tremendous aspect of it. You know, jealousy is a petty thing in life, and that's one thing I'm not. You know, I suggest to all my listeners go check out Marlo Holt's work, because truly is a tremendous aspect of your rise and who you are as a fighter. You know, I kind of want to jump onto a subject that kind of, it made me laugh, it kind of made me chuckle. The look on your face when you were going in there in the sweat room to cut weight, and Cub opened up the door and you handed him your clothes, and just that look on your face, how much of it is it a hindrance? Because I know you were on point anyway, but how much of it is it of a hindrance for you to have to sit in that heat, bro, and dwell on what's ahead of you, or think about what's ahead of you, or just going through that process?
Yeah, you know, no matter how, like you said, no matter how much on point you're on, and then, so the weight comes off easy, but just knowing that you have to do it is kind of like another, like, all right, man, here we go. Like, this is the first step of the fight. You know, you're like, it's like, you want to enjoy it, but at the same time, you're nervous, you know, because I was trying to peak early for the LA card, and then that didn't end up going through because we were still under negotiation. Then the following week, I thought I was going to fight on the Pechanga card, and then that didn't go through because it was due to actually the commission. They already had their fight set, and so it was like, man. So I was peaking for those two fights, and then to having to stack back on the weight and get ready to break down my body so I could be at peak performance come, you know, Thackerville when I fought at 195, Bellator 195. It was like, okay, now I got to build back up. So I had no idea where my body was, you know. So I believe in my trainer and everything he does 100%. You know, I'm not saying that, I don't. But, you know, it kind of was hindering me a little bit, wondering, you know, like, I didn't know my body, you know, because usually I know my body and I know, okay, the weight cut's only going to be this much, you know. And then, you know, sometimes I go in, I wrestle, and I lose 12 pounds in one practice, and I'm like, cool, like, okay, now I know where my body is. But I went into practice that Monday, and I only lost 8 pounds. And I was like, I mean, it's still a lot, but it's not as much as I normally do. So I was like getting a little bit nervous. I'm like, okay, what's my body gonna do at this when I get there? You know, because my body's the type that gains weight on an airplane. Like, I retain a lot of water and I swell up. So, you know, just that whole experience kind of made me almost second guess my weight cut. And so that was my mind going when I stepped into that sauna, was like, man, I hope this goes smooth as it's supposed to. You know, because you know, weight cuts never. It's never fun, you know. It's never fun, but it's part of the process.
No, you know, and it's a crucial aspect of defining that night for you. And, you know, you were very well defined that night for you. You know, one question that pops into my head because, God, you know, Juan, I didn't realize that you'd been in my life this long, and we've been doing interviews this long, but, you know, I've seen how many times you fought in your career, and I know how much you like, how often you like to fight. How hard is it going to be for Juan Archuleta to sit back and fight the 3-4 times a year comparative to the as many times as you were fighting before? And in those off times, is it going to be beneficial to Juan Archuleta to hone that craft?
Well, I mean, and that's something why we went with Bellator, is because they're going to work with me on that. You know, they Scott Coker and everyone asked, you know, hey, Juan, how many times do you think you'll fight this year? And I said, ideally, what I want is 8 times, And he started laughing. He's like, oh, man, are you serious? And then because I sat with him after my fight, and then he seen my three kids, and he's like, oh, yeah, we do got to keep you busy. I was like, yeah, this is the reason for it, you know. But, you know, you never know. You know, I kind of banged my hand up a little bit. I got to get it looked at. So I think it's a little blessing in disguise that because I wanted to fight so soon after my last fight, you know, I was trying to fight. When I fought in December, I was trying to fight January already, and then February, and then I ended up fighting the beginning of March. So now I'm going to have to take a little time and, you know, let my hand heal up and just go from there, you know, see in God's timing when he heals it and see what happens with my hand. And then, but it doesn't mean I'm going to slow down training, you know, that I'm definitely able to work on my kicking game and perfect that and work on, you know, a little more of my cardio and, you know, just keep perfecting my game all around.
Most definitely. You know, it was quite surprising to me. I mean, there was hundreds and hundreds of tremendous accolades towards your fight, and, you know, in Bellator. But at the same time, as a journalist, I sat back and, you know, people were stating, where has this young man been? You know, this is one of the freshest breath of air in the octagon yet, you know, that we've seen to date for Bellator. You know, but it blindsided me because how did the world not know who Juan Archuleta is, considering you've got one of the best records in the sport to date?
Yeah. You know what? I think they do know me. It's just like that. I don't want to make this type of analogy, so I'll try to use a different one. you know, you got a bunch of stars in the room, right? Okay, it's like a rap video. Okay, you got like a 50 Cent, you know, making a rap video in the club. You know, how in the club you had, you know, Lloyd Banks, you had The Game, you had Eminem, you had Dr. Dre. Everyone was in there, you know, but it was all focused on 50 Cent. Well, when Game came out, you know, and he dropped his rap album and he started getting big, and you go back and you look at these videos and you say, oh, man, Game was right there standing next to 50 Cent the whole time. Like, I never knew that, you know. And so I think that's who I am, you know. It was just like I was there for TJ Dillashaw's camp. I was there for Cub Swanson's camp. I was there in New Mexico. You know, I was there at Alpha Male, and I was there just slowly getting better, just waiting for my time to drop my own album, you know. And finally now I do, you know. Now people are like, they start going back and researching, like, oh, man, he was part of this guy's camp. Oh, he's been here with this guy. Oh, he was the one that, you know, did this and this. And then they start putting the puzzle together, you know. Puzzle pieces start falling in place. So I think it's something that's how the aspect to look at it as, you know. It's just like I always been there, but it was just like I took my time. I wasn't, you know, and I'm still not one to go out there and try to boast or you know, stand out and, you know, be center stage of everything. I'm okay with where I'm at and just keep plugging, you know. That's a saying my dad always told me growing up, is just keep plugging, you know. So, and it means just keep working hard, you know. Just keep your nose to the grind, you know, because if you don't grind, you don't shine. And, you know, and eventually all your hard work is going to pay off, you know. So.
And it truly has. You know, I look back and I look at these comments, and, you know, one comment that stood out to me was, you know, Archuleta is one of the most dominating, versatile fighters that I've seen in the Bellator cage to date. When you hear of statements like that, you know, and you see the growth through your training, through your heart and through your family and your walk with the Lord, how does that make you feel as a warrior, and how much confidence does it give you now, knowing that even if the world didn't know you, they know you now?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it gives me definitely good confidence going into my next fight. You know, it just shows that I'm doing everything right, and I got to do double of what I've done previously to keep on top, you know. And it's, you know, TJ had wrote me, and he's like, oh, it sucks, you have to be out a couple weeks. I was like, what do you mean? I'm already training. I trained that Saturday when I got back. He's like, no, you didn't. I was like, yeah, I did. I'm serious. And then he was just like, you're out of your mind. I was like, man, the grind don't stop, you know. So in order to be on top, you gotta train like you're at the bottom, you know. So because the cream always rises to the top. So as long as you're putting in the hard work and, you know, you stay motivated, you stay hungry, and you realize the friends that you have around you, like Cub and TJ, why they're around you, and it's because of your personality and your work ethic and the person you are, you know, it keeps you motivated to stay grounded, you know, and keep improving and keep wanting to be here. That way I can help these guys, you know, influence them to train harder and to stay on top, you know, because I think that's where we fall victim is when we have our training partners that don't hold us accountable. You tend to fall victim of being relaxed or taking in the moment too much. You know, that's what Cub told me today when we were talking. It was just like, he was telling me, like, I was like, man, I didn't even really take the moment in too much, you know. He's like, well, that's where you get complacent, you know. I'm glad you didn't, because when I seen you, you had that fire in your eye, and it made me have that fire in the eye. And, you know, I just wanted to, you know, I was just enthused the whole week with you, you know, and he made it easy for me to stay enthused.
Yeah, you know, that's what I love about the addition of Cub Swanson in your camp. You know, you got Professor Joe Teddy Stevenson, who is already probably one of the, I hold him in probably one of the highest regards in a lot of aspects, and then you add Cub Stevenson. You know, that knowledge is ascertainable. I mean, it's truly profound what they give to you. You know, I look at an interview that I did with Kung Lee, and I talked to him. I started to bring up his accolades, his awards and things, and he said, Don, stop right there, bro. He goes, I never look backwards. I never look back at what I've done. I've never looked back at what I've gained or what I've won. He says, because the minute you look back in the past, you are in the past. He said, so I always stay in the future, and I always keep focused on the future. Would you say that is part of the reason why Juan Archuleta is sitting at 19-1 and has one of the best records in the sport to date?
Yeah, you know, I kind of agree with it, but not really, because, like, for me, I do look back, you know. It was just a year ago today that I posted up my first loss when I seen it on Facebook. It actually, you know how Facebook gives you reminders, speaking of the past, you know. And it's a bittersweet one, you know, because from that loss, you know, you grow, you know, and it's just like you realize, like, you know, every time I see that picture, it takes me back on what I was trying to do for the sport, you know, in the sport, I mean. And it was just like, it wasn't, that shouldn't have been the reasoning I was doing the sport. Because for me, I was like, oh, I want to be the first fighter to go undefeated my whole career, you know, instead of saying, oh, I want to be a fighter that helps impact the sport and helps grow the sport, you know. And so I was fighting for the wrong reasons. And so the past makes you realize to stay grounded and stay humble and keep pressing forward. You know, martial arts is a very, you know, poor man's sport. You know, you grow up and fighting for your whole life. You know, you fight for your soul, you fight for your religion, you fight for your lifestyle, you know, and so you're fighting every day. So when you go out and you train to fight, it's just like, you know, that's what your world is. And that's what the world is today. You're fighting for what you believe in, you know. And so to have a stage like that in MMA, you know, to go back and be able to look at your past, you know, that's what's keeping me motivated to not go back and be who I used to be, you know. It's just like my past, like, I definitely don't want to be that person that didn't account to anything when I was at Purdue, you know. I want to make sure that I open every door of opportunity and that I impact as much people as I hope to, you know, with my walk in God and my walk in faith. And it's just like, I want to impact those kids that are struggling like I was, you know, that don't know how to make the right decisions at the right time, you know. How do we do that? You know, just reach out to people, you know, and get advice, you know. So I think it's important to look back in the past and know where you come from and know what you've done in the sport or what you want, because it keeps reminding you what you want to do for the sport.
Yeah, it truly does. You know, when I created that, to me it came from my heart, because I know you as a brother away from the show. I know you as a person in life. You know, when I said, you know, be strong as your God's warrior, you know, and when you step into the octagon, let the Spaniard preach. And, you know, you're probably one of the only fighters that I know that truly gives everything to God, to his family, and all aspects of life. And you truly walk that walk. You know, to have your son and your family there is tremendous. But to see the video with your boy and all aspects, how much more of a cherry on top, at essence, would you say that added to your first night in Bellator MMA?
Man, they got the I posted a picture, and I don't know if you've seen my daughter's face, but she was just so excited that I won. You know, she was just like, it made it all worth it. You know, I actually went back, like, seeing my family's reaction. This is a true story, like, no bull crap. I seen their face, and I was just like, they were so happy for their dad, you know, and it was just like, it kept me at peace. I go to the back, you know, I get my hand checked out, and I'm talking to Cub, and I'm talking to Tiki and Joe. I'm like, all right, guys, I'm going to go up and shower and come back down and finish watching the fights. And I'm like, all right. So we go up to my room. I'm showering. I'm getting ready to go back down to the fights. And my manager, Tiki, says, hey, did you get everything down there? And I was like, yeah, I believe so. I got my backpack, got my fight stuff, I got my gloves. Yeah. I was like, yeah, I think so. And he throws a piece of paper on the bed, and I was like, what's that? And he's like, I was like, oh yeah, my medicals. And he's like, no, that's your check, you retard. I was like, oh man, I forgot I get paid to do this. And I was just like, oh man, like, you know, you don't realize, you know, you because that was payment in itself. You know, being able to have my family there, to get in a fist fight, to put on a performance, to hear the crowd just, you know, standing up and giving standing ovations throughout the whole fight, thanks to William, you know, having a competitor to push you to the brink like that and bring the best out of you. And you get the best reaction out of the crowd you can, you know. It's just like, it's just like, that's payment in itself, you know, and to glorify God and just to go out there and just give it all to him, you know, and then to have your family there and support, it was just like payment, like everything I worked for was just paid up, you know, that was paid up to date, you know, so it was just like, it was, and then to come back and realize, oh yeah, I forgot, you get paid to do this, you know, it's just like, it's so awesome, you know, it's so awesome.
Yeah, have
I'm very fortunate and very blessed.
Yeah, you had spiritual fulfillment and you forgot you got paid.
Yeah, right. It's like,
so
he's like, oh man, hey, you get paid, man. But like, I was like, oh man, I was like, that's why I have you.
I get
that's
paid
why
to
I have you
fun.
Around. Yeah,
you know, Juan, I'm so proud of you, and you know what? I thought I had seen every aspect of, you know, Juan Archuleta, and I'm kind of gonna get kind of sentimental here because at the end of the fight, you know, you and Joplin decided to go into a slugfest and give the crowd what they came to see, give it your all as warriors. You know, knowing that this is probably, it may be one of the last times that William Joplin gets to step up into the major elite promotion such as Bellator, what was it like for you to be that man of God, but at the end, come together, share that mutual experience, that mutual friendship, and that mutual respect as warriors with William Joplin?
Man, to be honest, it was like, you know, I was trying to end the fight, and then, you know, he was just so relentless and so durable that, you know, it was like, what do I got to do to end this fight? You know, and when I realized it was going to decision, it was like, this guy's a true warrior. Like, you know, his best chance is to stand the slug. And for him taking a short notice fight like he did with a guy of, you know, my caliber, I'm not trying to toot my own horn, but honestly, like, to fight a guy 19-1 on 8 days notice and just sign up and say, I'm going to fight, you know, be the first card on be the first card on TV. You know, it takes a lot of cojones to do that. And, you know, I felt like I owed it to him. You know, it felt like it was like, you know what? I'm going to go out on this guy's strength, and I'm going to go and stand stand in the center and bang with them, you know? And then it was like, I want to go blow for blow with them and just honor that in him and give him a true testament, you know, because I felt like we did the whole fight, you know. I was trying to find this hole in this game, and I couldn't. And so it was like, all right, let's go out Max Holloway and Ricardo Lamas style, you know, where I pointed to the middle, and I said, let's go blow for blow, you know.
That was the most beautiful aspect of the fight, man. It was just two true warriors of the sport that truly understand not just the fundamentals, but the reasoning of why you guys step in the cage to begin with. That right there, it can't get any more poetic or beautiful. You know, that defines who both of you are, you know. And, you know, coming off of the loss of his mother showed sheer heart and determination on the part of Joplin. You know, my friend, you opened up so many eyes, and, you know, I hope you don't mind, but to my listeners, Juan Archuleta could have went anywhere. Any promotion would open their doors to him and have offered. You know, Juan took a tremendous route in the aspect of who you hired as management. I love the aspect that you're I want to do this, but I want to do this at the right pace. You know, who was it that initially instilled that thought in you as a warrior that you don't need to prove it every day? You know, prove it one day, take some time, step back in, and then prove it again, and wait for that right moment. Who gave you that key factor of thought in defining who you are and making you the warrior you are today?
Honestly, on that, on guiding my career like that, it's been Joe Daddy Stevenson. You know, he's been there for me since day one. You know, and you know, it was and being around a lot of other fighters. You know, when they ask, "Hey, do you want to go to the UFC?" and I was kind of, or go to a bigger show, you know, earlier in my career, and I was just like, I don't know, man. I don't really know. And like people like Jake Ellenberger are saying, you know, you got to take your time, you got to stand out, and you got to you got to be the diamond in the rough, you know. And then hanging out with Cub, you know, training with Cub, same thing. Take your time, don't rush it, you know. And then, you know, Joe Benavidez and you know, being with him, and he's like, man, you're right there, but keep taking your time, keep shining, keep polishing yourself. And then when you make an impact, make an impact. And then being around TJ, him saying the same thing, like, you're ready, but make sure you're ready to go out there and perform on all levels. And so just always having that influence in every fighter that I've been around that's been, you know, that has had a great career or that's been an icon in the sport and a legend in the sport, you know, being around Randy Couture, and I told him, you know, he asked me why I wasn't in the big show a long time ago, and you know, giving him the reasoning behind my thought process, you know, and him saying, you know, that's a great idea, and you know, that's great value, you know. Everyone's always want now, and he's like, it looks like you got a good head on your shoulders, you know. Just always getting positive reinforcement on what how Joe was going to guide my career was always just a huge impact to make the decisions we've made up to now.
And it's been tremendous in that aspect. You know, it's kind of funny you bring up Couture. You know, you know me, bro, I don't even like adding sponsors, but there's a sponsor out there that called Buy Me Mouth Guards, and, you know, it's preferred by Randy Couture and a lot of tremendous athletes in the sport. And I saw something.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Man, get a better phone. Get off that Getro PCS, bro.
No, I got the boost.
He said, I got the boost. You know, James Cross wouldn't want to hear you say that, dude, as he owns, like, several Metro PCS stores. But, you know, on a serious note, you had your first outing in Bellator MMA. What was it like for Juan Archuleta to experience the love, the aspect, the thickness in the air, and the creativity that only Bellator truly brings. Because I've shot for every promotion, and I'll tell you what, the family aspect of Bellator is what sold me and makes me believe in Bellator as being one of the top promotions in the world and continuing to strive. What was it like for the Spaniard to be embraced by Bellator?
Man, it was just like I said, I mean, that's why I performed so well, you know, the magic that's in the air there, and, you know, stepping on, you know, just the camaraderie everyone has when you show up. There's just like, they're not just like, stand here, do this, do that. You know, they're like, hey, let me help you walk through this step, you know, from check-in to the social media guy and to the guys taking measurements of, you know, your arm length, your height, you know, to taking pictures. Everyone like, okay, what kind of style do you like? You know, they wanted to mold it around you to make sure it was about you, you know. And Scott Coker and, Kogan and, you know, just everyone there is just always like, what do you need? Do you need something? What do you need? You know, it's just like, what can we do to make this easier for you? And it was just like, man, this is awesome. Like, you know, anything I asked for, in reasoning, obviously, they take care of it, you know, and it made my family welcomed, and, you know, they weren't hassled, and it was just like, boom, okay, here's your guys' seating, let me know if you guys need anything else, and then it was just like, here's this for you, this is your room, if you need a different room, let me know, we'll get you a different room, and it was just like, here's your warm-up area, if you need anything else to help you warm up, let me know, you know, and it was just like, man, it wasn't, there was just like, one factor played into the next and then okay, we're gonna be walking out in this much time, and then do you need anything before you walk out? I'm like, no, I'm good. They're like, all right, time to shine, you ready to go out there? And I'm like, yeah, absolutely. And it's just like, man, everything was just so perfect, and you know, made it easy for me to go out there and perform. Like, that was my job, to go out there. All you have to do is go out one, and that's what I was telling myself, one, all you got to do now is everyone's taking care of their part to make sure you had the platform to perform. Now it's my duty to go out there and perform for the organization that created this platform for you. You know, you got your audience in attendance. You know, you got people screaming their heads off for you to go out there and put on a performance. So it was just like, it was, everything was picture perfect, like I imagined my first fight to go.
Yeah, most definitely. And, you know, I know the exact feeling of Bellator. It's tremendous. You know, if you could make a statement about what that night meant to the Spaniard and the rebirth and the rising of, to my listeners, to the fans of Juan Archuleta, what would that statement be, my friend?
That it's only the beginning, you know? It's only the beginning. and it's going to keep getting better, you know?
Yeah, I saw that. I saw some transitions in there that I never seen before. And, man, you stepped it up, homie. That was magic. Yeah. You know, Juan, it's always a pleasure to have you on my show. Even though you blew off the first 10 minutes of my show, I'm going to give you crap till the day I die for that.
Yeah.
But,
phone answer.
I was getting mad. But you can make it back up to me, man. There's like three or four or five people now in the green room. They wanted to, you know, they don't understand that I'm on iHeart and Univision, which we're going to the video aspect soon. But do you mind if at the end of this interview, which we're about ready to, you know, close out anyway, do you mind going live with me on Facebook Live for about 10 minutes just for a quick Q&A?
Please.
Because everybody is wanting the video aspect of the Spaniard. And the first 10 minutes of my show kind of got blown off, not by your fault. It was just a signal for where you live. If you could do that, that'd be tremendous. I want to share your new birth, your new rise, because the world needs to know who Juan Archuleta is, not just the warrior, but the man. You know, you've touched many lives, and you know what? You are the truest form in all aspects, and you made me look at the sport totally different, and you reinvigorated my thoughts towards the sport and where it was going. So I love sharing you on my show each and every time, but we'll go ahead and wrap this up. I'll hand the mic to you and let you give your sponsors and everything, but then I'll be giving you a call back in about 5 minutes and we'll do a Facebook Live for about 10 minutes. We'll do a Q&A with some of the listeners and some of the people wanting. But I'm going to hand the mic to you. If there's anything that you'd like to add as far as sponsors, friends, family, or just anything else you'd like to add to the program, the floor is yours.
Yeah, first of all, I just want to thank you, Don, for the great show that you always put on. It's awesome. You know, I'm always humbled and, you know, grateful for you taking the time out of your day to have me on. You know, so I thank you guys and the studio there that provides a great platform for me to get on and be able to, you know, just be myself. So thank you guys first and foremost. And secondly, I want to give a huge shout out to Bellator, Paramount, and the Windstar Resort for putting on a great show this weekend. And, you know, I'm just so thankful. My family's so thankful and honored to fight for such a great organization like Bellator and, you know, be able to represent the way that I want to, you know, not the way they think I should. That I'm able to go in there and just be myself. So I thank them, extremely grateful for their support. And everyone that works for Bellator, you know, Scott Coker, Kogan, Rich Chow, just everyone that from that picked me up from the airport to doing interviews to, you know, taking care of, you know, the smallest details, making sure my family was okay with tickets and everything. Just I thank them so much. They worked extremely hard to put on a great show. You know, the production company, they worked countless hours on getting everything set up. So I thank them for all the time they spent to put on a great show. And, of course, my sponsors, you know, they're the ones that were able to get my family out there, you know, Legacy Builders, Boost Mobile, you know, Elite Sports USA, Snyder Services, Fusion Motors, you know, just all those guys that strongly helped me, you know, financially and just with their advice, you know, thank them so much. You know, Marlo Holt, my family, my coaches, my training partners, just all them that made this performance, you know, capable of happening. And, you know, I just want to give William Joplin a huge thanks for taking the fight on short notice and stepping into the cage with me. It was truly an honor. Thanks, James Krause and Tim Elliott and, you know, his management team that, you know, let them take the fight, you know, because a lot of guys try to talk people out of taking the fight, and to be able to put on a show with their team and, you know, to go out there and set a memorable night together, it's truly priceless, you know, and I'm thankful for them because if you don't have nothing to stand for, you fall for everything, you know. So it's just like, thank those guys for having the MMA code of just, you know, being strong athletes and strong fighters at heart and willing to do what a martial artist would do. So thank you guys. Thank you for your time and my wife and my kids. I just love them so much and truly grateful and just thank God for every day for everything he's blessed me with.
Most definitely. You know, you truly are a blessed warrior in life. You know, the thing that I admire most about you is your humility and your integrity. And that's what the sport needs. It needs a lot more warriors like you. The reason my show exists is because of fighters like you. And, you know, my whole schmeal was to bring back and give back. And, you know, I saw a sport that was kind of losing its basis of why I fell in love with it. But it's fighters like you that truly have recreated my love for a sport that I've dedicated half my life to. And I thank you for that, and you don't ever have to thank me for coming on my show. It's I that needs to thank you because you share great wisdom and knowledge and the warrior that you truly are in life. Juan, I'm going to go ahead and end this episode, but I'll give you a call back in a couple minutes. We'll do a Facebook Live. Once I get it figured out, we'll go ahead because there's a bunch of people wanting to, I guess, ask questions. So if you could give me about 10, 15 more minutes of your time, I'll get that set up and we'll roll. But I truly appreciate you coming on the show tonight. Oh, man.
Yeah,
this is going to be great.
Your fans are awesome.
You know what's crazy, bro, is, like, I was content with, like, the 8,000 people that would listen to a show, but now it's well over the 100,000 mark, and it keeps growing. You know, I did a music show before I let you go over here real quick, and then we jump on the Facebook Live aspect. I did a music show this, like, what, two weekends ago with BET Breakout Artist of the Year, People's Choice, and the Lyricist of the Year. And the show is sitting at 220,000 live listens. And I just look back and go, why in the hell? It obviously isn't me they're tuning in for, but, you know, it's humbling because it shows what I'm doing is getting out there and sharing others and shedding light on others is what God's about. I'll hit you back in a couple minutes. Much love and continued success in Bellator. It was a tremendous outing for you. I truly appreciate you, and I'll be talking with you in just a couple minutes here.
Thank you. Thank you, fans. Appreciate it. Bye-bye.
God bless you, man. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Juan Archuleta. You're going to get your wish. We're going to do a Q&A here real quick. As soon as I figure out how to set it up, we'll do a dual screen Facebook Live with the one and only, the Spaniard, Juan Archuleta. On that note, I want to thank Finished MMA, Juan Martinez. You know, God be with you right now. I know you need him. The 86ers.net, Alfred and Freddie, my fam, you know, to the end. The United Way Merced, you know, tremendous organization that backs me. BiteMeMouthGuards.com, one of the best mouth guards in the business. On that note, we're gonna leave with a little Young King, and when we come back in about 10 minutes, we'll be live with a Q&A with the Spaniard.
I'm in the booth. I'm in the booth. Say something on the mic. Booth. Say something heavy.
Oh, yo, yo, yo. That's what I'm talking about. My young boy up in the booth. We get ready to kick it live.
Whip bomb, might get deported. Fish me alive, less than anointed. Broke this at 111, recorded. Clock struck 12, bank on Warner. Might sound with Sony just for some stock, nigga. Still independent, been in the lot, nigga.